Belinda presents this unabridged recording of Somebody to Love, The Life, Death and Legacy of Freddie Mercury, written by Matt Richards and Mark Langthorne, and read by Tim Bruce. Everything has a beginning. Our beginning is in the Belgian Congo, deep in the heart of Africa. The year is 1908, and the country is attempting to rebuild itself following the brutal regime of King Leopold II. This was the year the Congo Free State was abolished and annexed as a colony of Belgium, to become known as the Belgian Congo, an area 75 times larger than Belgium itself. King Leopold died a year later, having never once set foot in the Congo region. Before long, the Belgian Congo had become to many a model colony, and the transfer of responsibility to Brussels had ensured much of the wealth produced in the Congo was reinvested within the region. Missionaries arrived and built hospitals and clinics, and the church ran schools. An infrastructure of railways, ports, and roads underwent construction, and mining companies provided homes for their staff, as well as welfare and technical training. But while this had great benefits for the citizens of cities and towns such as Boma and Leopoldville, for those inhabitants deep in the rainforest, the tentacles of progress barely touched them. These tribal people continued to exist as they had done for thousands of years, surviving through hunting and gathering, before heading to a nearby village or town to trade bushmeat or the prized honey they collected from the rainforest's canopy. A number of tribes existed within the vast Congo rainforest. The most famous were the Pygmies, known as the Mbuti of the Ituri forest in northern Congo, but there were also the Aka, the Twa, and the Baka tribes, and their taller and more dominant neighbours, the Bantu. And among the Bantu tribe lived a young hunter. Our hunter lives deep within the Congolese jungle as part of the small ethnic Bantu group that inhabits the Upper Sanga River basin. Nomadic in nature, the Bantu survive by hunting bushmeat within the forest. Being young, fit and muscular, he is one of the best hunters within the tribe. And not only does he hunt, but he has been entrusted to take the bushmeat, carcasses and furs, upriver to the city of Leopoldville to trade for the manioc root from which to make cassava bread for the rest of the tribe. However, first, he has to catch his prey. Armed with a long spear, a cast iron knife and a wire for setting traps, he had crept into the forest the day before to set his snares. He used a twig to pin a lethal loop of wire to the ground, then covered it in leaves. A living sapling bent over by another wire provided a spring that pulls the noose tight. Now, a full night and day since he set his traps, he checks the snares to see what, if anything, he has caught. Drawing near to his first snare, the hunter hears a disturbance in the undergrowth ahead. He approaches slowly and silently, wary of disturbing the lethal green mamba, bright as blades of grass, who lurk on the rainforest floor and in trees. Finally, he gets close to the snare, and peering through the vine-like tangle of lianas, he sees that he has snared a young male chimpanzee. The animal, once energetic and full of life, now appears exhausted and almost dead. Moving closer, he notices that it has gnawed off part of its own leg in a struggle to free itself from the snare. He rushes towards the chimp and spears it quickly, but not quick enough. The chimp's teeth sink into his left hand. He recoils as the sharp pain flows up his arm. With his full force, he pushes the spear deep into the chimp's chest. It is enough. The chimp releases its grip on life. He examines his wounded hand. The bite is not too deep, as the creature was weak from loss of blood. He cleans up the wound as best he can, then cuts open the dead animal and discards its entrails with an iron knife. Once this job is done, he hoists it across his shoulders and heads back to his boat. The warm blood from the chimp mingles and mixes with his own blood from the open wound. Unbeknown to him, the chimpanzee he has hunted and killed is carrying a virus. It enters the hunter's bloodstream at the wound, and the virus, in that moment finding his blood to be not so different from the blood of the chimp, takes hold. He is the perfect host, given that chimpanzees and humans share more than 98% sequence identity across their genomes. The virus immediately begins to replicate aggressively. Oblivious to his new infection, the hunter throws the dead chimp into his boat, on top of a pile of carcasses of various animals he's already hunted, species such as pangolins and small antelope, and pushes out from the riverbank. He makes his way on the current towards Leopoldville, a 3-day journey down the Sunga River.